You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we are back, and we have got a great guest. We've got Mike Valdez-Foley. Did I get it right?
Close enough.
Close enough. I'm Valdez Foul, right?
Much better, yeah.
All right, like a baseball thing, right?
You got
like
it.
A foul guy, foul ball, foully.
Given today's theme, maybe we'll go with a soccer.
All right, let's go with soccer. Hey, I'll get to that, too. So Mike is going to talk to us about marketing your business to the Hispanic community. Mike is gives a Spanish or Hispanic voice to many of the big names that you see out there, brands that are Bruce Strichel, our buddy, talks about branding. Mike's going to talk about spinning the branding to the Hispanic market. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, Mike, how'd you get decide that you were going to focus just on the Hispanic market?
It's actually a cool story. So I started my career with a huge company with a DC office of about 200 people. And I remember on my first day looking down the sort of directory list, and I was one of two Hispanics in the entire office. The other was the receptionist. And
Mrs. Gonzalez.
There you go. I think it was Rodriguez, but
okay.
again, close enough. You're not very good with names here, Jim. But so, so she, you know, I sort of a light bulb went off that I could be one of 200, or I could focus on that perceived weakness and turn it into an opportunity and focus on the U.S. Hispanic market.
Well, obviously, as everybody in Miami knows, the U.S. Hispanic market is exploding. And for years, Miami, I'm in commercial real estate, Miami was a red line. People wouldn't come here because they didn't understand the Hispanic market. Then suddenly a light went off. When did all that stuff start?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a few booms and busts, if you will, within the Hispanic space. I would say in terms of culture, we had a big boom in the late 90s with things like Ricky Martin coming along, Gloria Estefan, her husband Emilio, who's done incredible things for the market. That sort of made it cool to be Hispanic, if you will. So it was no longer a liability, but rather a strength. And then I think in terms of the business community taking note, the 2000 census, when you realize that it was upwards of 15% of the total U.S. population in our midst was Hispanic, you can't really ignore that sleeping giant anymore.
And the Hispanic market can be sliced and diced. I know that we had the guys from the Marlins on, and they were saying that Los Angeles called them for Yasiel Puig because they had assigned a Mexican translator to a Cuban guy, and he couldn't understand or hook up with him, and it was getting him aggravated.
I'm proud to say the Marlins are a client, and they certainly do get the Hispanic space.
Now, what is it that the Marlins do that helps them get the Hispanic space? We've had them on, and I guess they have Los Marlins. They have Marlins. What is it, Ayudan or something that they
do?
Yeah,
it basically translates as Marlins Help, and it's their corporate social responsibility program. They really do a good job of getting out in the community, ensuring that they are addressing needs within the Latino space, truly getting their players out there to either give back with a charitable donation or just show up and create excitement for those that otherwise might not have opportunities to see famous people like that.
Well, and we have the Heat with their L Heat or Los Heat. I don't know which one it is there.
Right. No, and the NBA also does a pretty good job. They have something called NBA, which is just the phonetic pronunciation, as a Hispanic might say it. I think sports in general, be it NBA, NFL, MLB, are really starting to realize that, again, there are 55 million Hispanics in the United States right now. If that were a country, Jim, that'd be the second largest Spanish-speaking country on earth after Mexico.
Wow.
So think about ignoring Colombia or Spain or Venezuela if you're a big company. You can't do that. So in the same vein, you no longer can ignore the Hispanic space right here.
Now, I'm a... I don't know. So, like, a gringo? Is that like offensive? Am I a gringo? I guess I'm a gringo, right?
I think if you call yourself one, it's not offensive.
Okay.
Right? So go ahead.
Because I am, I guess I just proved I am. Now, I speak a little Spanish.
Oh, God. I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah. Hablo español poquito, pero
How about a little guacamole and Taco Bell?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Oscar, chiming in there. Yeah, guacamole, Taco Bell, and salsa, right? Salsa.
Yeah. So the
Doritos, does that work?
The term gringo was not offensive, but some of this, I think, has been. I'm just kidding.
Gee, thanks. Oscar, you're supposed to hit the dump button when I go over the edge. But Mike, no, really, though, what are some really simple tactics that your basic, let's call a person in Port St. Lucie, for lack of a better location, wants to penetrate the Miami-Dade market, they consider going across the Dade-Broward line as crossing into a foreign country. That's what they tell me all the time.
Right.
What can they do to spin their message and just be a little bit more open to the Hispanic market?
Sure. So, you know, the first thing is to not condescend or talk down to the market. And I think too often you use cliches and stereotypes. I know you were joking, but you know, you can't assume that every Hispanic wants to eat salsa and quesadillas. I mean, those are very Mexican things, and in fact, that is a popular dish with Mexicans. But you won't find the Cuban community rushing to order that versus some of the alternatives. So.
Puedo tener arroz blanco con frijoles.
Where's that dump button again? So starting from a level of respect as a baseline. The second thing is make sure you don't just translate. You have to adapt. So I think a mistake that too many companies make, some even sophisticated companies, is to take a press release or an ad for television, print, or online, and literally just translate it, when in fact you really have to adapt the message to resonate culturally.
So you mean that just hitting the Google Translate on my email that I sent ain't going to cut it?
That definitely will not cut it. No. And then another thing I think is you know, get out there and realize some of the insights that come along with targeting Hispanics. One of them is that Hispanics really do communicate extensively with their family. And to get a certain Hispanic in their household to buy a product, you might want to talk to their grandmother as opposed to them directly. And that's an insight that I think does prove well year after year in targeting the entire Hispanic family.
And oh, by the way, is that we've been making fun because the comedy is well-practiced spontaneity here. But obviously, if we do respect the Hispanic marketer, you wouldn't be on the show
Absolutely,
today.
Absolutely, yes. Right, No. You're a friend to the Hispanic community and a colleague that I greatly respect.
No, thank you so much. And I really did want to make sure we did not offend anybody out there, because all our sponsors market directly to the Hispanic community also, people
yep.
like UHealth, et cetera. Now, Mike, let's say somebody has a problem. They step on their whatever when they're marketing to the Hispanic community. Is there a crisis mode that they have to go into? How do they recover from this?
Yeah, so that's actually one of our areas of expertise at Binta, is crisis communications. And so it's a good question. I think the first thing is third-party objective people to serve as your mouthpiece or spokesperson in a crisis is often a good way to go. If you are a gringo running a company and you did step in it, perhaps you're not the best person to go out there and try to apologize for it. Getting someone in the community that has earned credibility and respect over many years, and approaching them so you can have a sit down, hopefully convince them that you weren't maliciously intended, and then have them go out in the community with you to add that sort of halo effect, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Somebody who has natural authority with the community.
There you go. So that's an important thing, and I think Hispanics respect that. The other thing is, I think, start giving back. I mean, too many companies don't feel like they need to engage the Hispanic market. But as I said, these days, almost 20% of the population. So, you know, creating some sort of philanthropic or altruistic program to get out there, to speak in schools, to give money to important charities, I think that goes a long way in building what I call a trust bank, so that when you do need to extract something from that trust bank account, you've built up a lot of deposits.
Well, I can tell you this right now, is we'd love to have an event in the Hispanic community. If you could help us out with that, we've had Lauren's kids at places like the Richmond Heights Parine Optimist Club, and we'd love to do something in the Hispanic community as well. So please keep us in mind as your clients look to create outreach events. We'd love to work with them.
Sounds great.
Now, Mike, I'm now outside of Miami-Dade County, and we'll even include Broward County with this. How does the market change as I go further north and further west?
Sure. It's a great question. So one of the misnomers or common misconceptions is that the Hispanic market is one market. And in fact, it's not homogenous at all. If you go west, for example, Texas or California, it's largely Mexican. And there are huge, huge pockets of millions and millions of Mexicans in that part of the world. If you go to Chicago, you're going to get a lot of sort of Puerto Ricans in that. And in New York, you get more Dominicans and some Puerto Ricans. And then, of course, in Miami, what used to be exclusively Cuban is now quite a melting pot. So there's a rich array of cultures across the country.
Oh, yeah. I went to college in 1978, and this was everybody here was a Cuban. When I came back, everybody was Hispanic. And when I started in business, now everybody's a Latino.
Right.
Do any of those terms offend anybody?
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of trying to not take offense unless it was intended. So, no, I think you can use Latino, Latin, or Hispanic interchangeably. I think the term Hispanic was actually created by the census a few decades ago to refer exclusively to Latins that live in the United States. A Latin could also refer to someone living in Mexico, but Hispanic, in fact, always references that U.S. multicultural.
We're going to take a quick break. Oscar's telling me that it's time for me to sell some Doritos, and we'll be right back after this short break. Can you stick with us for another segment, Mike?
Look forward to it.
Awesome. Oscar, take us back. No more talking for you. You messed it up the last time.